Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Renee Schaff is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Renee is Vice President for Retirement and Investor Services at the Principal Financial Group. She's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and she's here to help us learn what she has learned, to tell us what she has learned about what the best companies in America are doing to take care of their employees. Renee, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
It's good to be here.
How are things in the rocking and rolling state of Iowa?
Oh, they are great. We are firing up the political process to elect a new president. So, things are going very well here.
So how do you feel about all these other states kind of accelerating or moving up their dates so that the potential in Iowa and New Hampshire could become less relevant to the process? How do you feel about that?
I can sure understand their desire. It's an exciting process, and it's fun to be first, so I sure understand the desire to be first. Obviously, being an Iowan, I hope we keep our spot, but I can totally understand everybody's interest in this process.
Are you part of the caucuses? Do you go and go to someone's home, or do they come to your home, or you go to a civic center?
Absolutely. I'm part of the process.
Part of the process, and you know, and I know that's not what you're here to talk about, but that's interesting that you are, and good for you. I'm glad that you are. One last question, and then we'll move on to the other stuff. How many total Iowans do you think participate in the whole process, the whole caucus process, for both sides?
You know, I don't know the percentage, Jim, but I would tell you anytime you start looking at people who are actively involved in the political process, it's a shockingly low percentage.
Right.
But despite that, I would say that we probably, because we are the first to go through it in the country, we probably have greater percentages than other states.
Right.
We seem to have a lot of vocal and interested people who become very involved. So,
but it's not hundreds of thousands, right? I mean, it's like tens of thousands. It's like 20,000 or 8,000. How many would you estimate? How many Iowans are involved in the caucus process?
I would say, if I had to guess, and this is purely a guess in terms of percentages, I would say somewhere around maybe 10 to 15%. But that is a guess.
Which is about 20% of what you expect the voter turnout to be.
Right.
Right?
It's a relatively low number of people,
yeah.
But a very vocal group and a very active group, and it's an important part of the process.
This is going to be an interesting primary year, though, isn't it, with all the different states moving things around? It's going to be an unusual year, I think.
I think it will be. And always when there's things that are moving around and all the activities that are happening in our government, it makes for good dialogue, and that's what we can hope for, is good dialogue and a good outcome.
Well, and one of the reasons why, and folks, they don't call me the king of Segway for nothing, one of the reasons why we need to all be involved in the political process is because the politicians we elect control certain elements of the marketplace through the laws that they pass, including laws that impact the benefits and the programs that we're able to offer our employees. And that's what you're here to talk to us about today, Renee. And one of the things you guys have been doing for several years now is you've identified the top 10 employees that you can with regard to how well they treat their employees, the top 10 employers, I should say, for how they treat their employees. And you and I have talked to them many times before. You and I and others from Principal have interviewed them on the show about what they do, about how they treat their employees. What are they doing? What are some of the best practices that they're performing and offering to their employees to make them stay with them, to make them be there longer, to make them more engaged? And so, what I wanted you to do today is talk to us about some of the things you've learned about these people.
Oh, absolutely. First off, just a quick explanation about what this program is. As you mentioned, every year we conduct a nationwide search for 10 companies that excel in providing employee benefits that lead to long-term financial security. And these 10 winners are chosen by an independent panel of judges. Then we study what they do. We study their best practices, and we identify what works within these companies. And by the way, these companies are all small to medium-sized businesses. And the number one thing that we find that virtually every winner through the last 6 years has had is a very strong commitment at the very top towards viewing their benefits as an investment in their employees, and their employees are their greatest asset. And that resonates through every winner, every year.
So when they saw, when they contemplated writing a check for benefits, they didn't see it as much as an expense as they did as a way of having, creating an environment and the circumstances where a productive and efficient and engaged team could basically execute the business's plan.
Exactly. The winners realize that their benefit programs are absolutely key in both attracting and retaining employees. And when we look at the winners, their voluntary turnover rate is just a fraction of the national average. For example, we're getting ready to announce the 2007 winners. Mm-hmm. And their average turnover rate is 7% versus an industry average of 21%.
Wow.
Yeah. And so these companies understand that by really investing in their employee base, they win from a financial perspective. What they've found is that great benefits lead to great employees, which lead to a great bottom line.
And, you know, Renee, to extend that just a little bit further, that turnover number is really dramatic and really significant, because we all know, especially at the small business level, most businesses done because of relationships, not so much on price, not so much on product, but on relationships, because basically price is not usually that big a deal, and the product is a commodity. And the rest of it is the relationship. And so if we can get employees who our customers can depend on year after year, that increases the relationship and increases that longevity of relationship with our customers. And so that's a very a direct connection to ROI from having a higher tenure of employees. Renee, hang on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check those out when you get a chance. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you hang out with us and use all of our stuff to your advantage. Renee Sheff is our guest. She's Vice President with the Principal Financial Group. Renee, give us your website, please.
It's principal.com. And the last three letters of principal are P-A-L.
Yeah, like the guy in school, or the lady in school.
Right.
We're talking about some of the things that you've learned in reviewing and interviewing and meeting and evaluating the top companies in the country. And basically, all of these are small businesses too, aren't they?
They are.
Many of them are larger small businesses. They're not, two or three employees, but these are still privately held companies, or maybe they're like a mutual or something like that. But they are locally owned, privately held, and these are small businesses, and they're doing things that promote keeping good employees, finding and hiring good employees, and keeping them. And you were telling us about some of the other things you've learned about them.
The other thing that really stands out when you look at the winners is they understand that good benefit programs have to cover several important, what I would call, life events. And that would include solid medical coverage, good retirement plans, and also insurance or risk coverages for life and disability. And they really put their money there, and they make sure that those programs are very solid, very foundational, because those are the key benefits that lead to long-term financial security.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a differentiator as well. And then beyond that, and when it comes time to really design those programs and make them work, the 10 best winners almost universally involve their employees in the process. So they engage them, they ask them what's important to them, they ask them how they should balance the spending between retirement benefits, medical benefits, insurance coverage, and that way the programs that they end up with really work for their population, for their employees.
And but you're talking about the ability to move resources around and spend money in areas that are more important to me than it would be, say, to some other person, a younger person or an older person, right?
Right. And a lot of employees, or excuse me, employers will approach that in a couple of ways. First off, they'll work on the general philosophy of their program using advisory councils, employee advisory councils, but then mm-hmm. they'll structure their benefits so that they have a great deal of flexibility at the individual choice. So, for example, multiple medical plans is a great example. Retirement plans, of course, anytime you introduce a defined contribution plan, there's a lot of employee choice there. So they involve employees both at the overall program design and then build in flexibility at the employee level.
One of the things that concerns me, Renee, is some states have mandated certain kinds of health care coverage that all people in that state who have health insurance policies have to have certain many times it's esoteric coverage. It's not the kind of thing that everybody typically needs, but they've mandated that those things be available. And doesn't that limit the ability of a company to move resources around when they do that?
It certainly limits their ability to determine what things are covered and what expenses will be covered underneath the benefit plan. But what the states typically don't prescribe are deductibles and out-of-pockets and maximums
right.
for the various kinds of coverage. And that's really where the employee choice comes in terms of what plans work the best for them. And also, that's the way the employer decides what levers they have to pull in terms of how much they spend on medical coverage versus retirement coverage versus other insurance coverage.
Right. Are you seeing that more and more companies are encouraging their employees to think more like healthcare consumers and less like a patient, and maybe even to be a little more self-insured? Are you seeing that?
We're definitely seeing a shift towards individual responsibility, and that impacts both the healthcare coverages as well as the retirement coverages. And along those lines, what the 10 best winners have done is to make sure that they have excellent education programs in place so that employees understand what choices they have to make and the long-term implications of the choices they make today.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that they're doing with respect to health, they're introducing really robust wellness programs to help people get healthy, stay healthy. And on the retirement side, they're doing everything they can to make the choices easy for the employees. Really
yeah.
going along the...
And that's really important, isn't it, to give them enough information to help them make a good decision, but also to help them with explaining everything and so that the employee doesn't have to become an expert.
Right. You know, one of the biggest things that employers face in terms of obstacles and barriers is employees have so many decisions to make that sometimes they just shut down. Inertia
yeah.
sets in.
Yeah.
That's particularly true on retirement coverages.
Right. And the good companies take care of that for their employees. Renee, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
That sounds great. Thank
Renee
you,
Schaff, ladies and gentlemen, Vice President with the Principal Financial Group. That's principal.com. Quick break. Right back with our good friend Lois Geller after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.